Welcome back to the Balance is Bullshit podcast, the real stories of blending motherhood and career, where we're sitting down with mamas and caregivers that are making waves in their career. And we get the unvarnished version of what it's like, their trade-offs, the epiphanies, the milestones. Whether you're here because it's a tough day, you're celebrating, or you want to get tools to craft your most fulfilled life, we've got you. And remember, you're welcome here as your whole self, not just your best self. Let's get to today's episode. Hello, hello. Hi, my friends. Thank you so much for coming back. I am so excited to get a chance to introduce you to Tiffany Heifel today. We had such a fun conversation the other day, and you can feel her energy. So if you're lacking a little bit today and you need a little boost, listen up. Tiffany is bringing it. So Tiffany is the VP of revenue for a company called HireGuide, and she's also a mama of two, a six-year-old and a nine-year-old. And the conversation flows in so many different directions. We cover a shift in thinking from really not wanting maybe marriage or children in her life and really wanting to make career her focus to absolutely loving motherhood. We talk about how she developed confidence at such a young age and how she brings that confidence forward into her career and into so many of the mentorship relationships that she has today. And one of my favorite takeaways is Tiffany's metaphor for your career. It's like a puzzle, but you don't know what that puzzle looks like yet. Enjoy.
Hi, Tiffany. Welcome. We happen to be recording on Valentine's Day, and we're both in our lips and our black shirts. how are you doing today?
I'm good. I was joking with someone that I was talking to today that I was like, I'm not doing anything with my husband because I spent the last two nights prepping Valentine's for 20 kids in each class to make sure that we had all the stuff done and they had all their stuff ready to go. So that was good. And literally like last night, as we were kind of laying stuff out on the table for them, so when they woke up, they had their little Valentine surprise. I looked at my husband and I'm like, we don't have to do anything, right? He's like, God, no. I'm like, okay, thank God. All right. Okay.
So not doing anything is actually the gift. It's actually the pleasant evening. Yeah. Totally. I hear
and
you
he's
on
like,
that.
He's such a good cook. So he's like, I'll make us like a family dinner with like steak and potatoes and salad. And we'll do that. We'll do a big Valentine's dinner with the kids. And I'm like, yes, locked. Sounds great. Let's do that.
Sounds pretty epic, actually. So
yeah, right?
Like, enjoy.
That sounds good. So
I am so excited to talk to you today. I mentioned this to you before we were recording, but I'll say it again. I really love, I love your posts. So I found Tiffany just by networking on LinkedIn and seeing the amazing content she puts out there. She is incredibly human. She is adding value to the people that are reading and listening, and she's you are incorporating so much of life into a place that's predominantly work focused, which I feel is so desperately needed. And So I'm thrilled to have this conversation with you today. And thank you.
Excited to be here. Let's dive in. And thank you for
cool. those. Yeah, of course. So we're going to talk about motherhood. We're going to talk about your career journey. But none of that or all of that makes more sense. And I find is more exciting when we understand kind of the human that made those decisions and it's kind of going through that now. So can you tell us a little bit about, I would love to hear about where it all began. Where'd you grow up?
Yeah.
A little bit about your childhood and how it shaped you into who you are today.
Totally. Geez, where to begin? It all started. No, I grew up in Toronto. I actually grew up between Toronto and Indiana. So I like to say that I'm sort of a citizen of North America and a little bit of the world. But I grew up between Toronto and Indiana. And I say that because my mom's from Indiana. Her whole family's there. My dad's from Toronto. Whole family's here. And so we would grow up where we would be here in the winter and then we'd go to Indiana in the summer. And mainly because my dad was a professional golfer. So he was kind of out and about golfing during the summer. And so we would go down and visit all my family through Indiana and Michigan in the summer, which was great. Yeah, I grew up, I mean, honestly, like pretty nice childhood. Can't really complain, you know?
That's great.
Nice parents. I have a younger brother. He lives still like 10 houses down from me in Toronto, which is great. We're very close. I had a very large Italian family in Toronto that I was with all the time growing up, lots of cousins. So lot of that. But my mom was a traveling salesperson, very much growing
It's
up
in the
through
blood.
totally. And all the Italians, I always say, 40 Italians, all of us, all of them were in some sort of capacity of sales, whether it be real estate or whether it be recruitment or whether it be she sold technology or education for a long time. And so it was so interesting because now I look back on it and you're like, why is this in the, like, how do you just get this? But I grew up, I mean, I remember when I was eight sitting under conference tables at, sitting at conference tables under like conferences my mom was at, like big trade shows. And she'd literally pull me out and she'd be like, okay, that's the person. Go talk to them. Say you're Tiffany. Introduce yourself. Bring them back over to this booth. I'm like, okay. So I'd have to walk over at eight and be like, hi, I'm so and so. That's my mom over there and that's her booth. Da-da-da. She'd like to talk to you, you know? So I started like prospecting at eight. Then I remember my dad sitting with me.
The confidence that that
Totally,
had to
right?
take.
Like,
That is pretty amazing, actually, of what your mom instilled at you at that age, and probably what you innately had too.
totally. Well, and you know what, Jess, what I'm realizing now is I always say I love the Tina Fey quote that is like, I have a disproportionate amount of confidence relative to my looks or abilities. I think about that all the time. I'm like, I actually just said it to a friend I was out with on the weekend because they were like, oh, I'm a bit nervous. Like, because we were all in this big group setting where none of us knew a ton of each other. And I was rallying a bunch of people. They're like, but what if, how are we, but we don't look right. And I'm like, nobody cares. Nobody's looking at us. Nobody cares. Let's just go. But I love that quote. And I think it comes from certainly her and that. And then my dad like walked me through negotiation when I was 10. He'd be like, we're going in. Okay, it's $10. What do you say? I'm like, here's $10. He's like, no, you say here's five. And he says here's 10. I'm like, but it's 10. He's like, doesn't matter. Like this was like flea markets, right? So anyway, but I realize now because like most people, you don't want to do what your family does. So I was like, I'm never gonna be in sales. That's the craziest thing. Why would I do that? So I started my career in marketing. But I have a degree in costume design. That's another story. But yeah, I started my career in marketing and realized I was like, I like this. What is it? Because I've never taken a business class in my life. And someone was like, oh, this is marketing. I'm like, oh, this is great. So then I worked at ad agencies for a while. And then I sort of stumbled into sales at Universal Studios where I was selling films. And I'm growing up in the theater and around film and television. I was like, ooh, this is great. I was supposed to stay there a year. I stayed there seven, and then I ran my own company for a while. And then, yeah, I ended up at LinkedIn for a bit. And now I'm over at HireGuide. And that's sort of kind of how the cookie crumbles.
That is a great story. I love it. I so relatable. My dad has been in sales and
Right.
entrepreneurship his entire career. And I would intern for him and,
Yeah.
make cold calls. And
Totally.
I was like, I'm gonna go to college for marketing and I'm
Of
gonna do
course.
something else. I'm not gonna do sales, but then absolutely loved my sales concentration classes and was in sales my and have been in sales my entire career. So I can relate to that. The influence that you don't even realize that has on you as you grow up.
Oh
I
my
am
God.
curious, I love that Tina Fey quote. Thank you for sharing.
Oh, it's the
And
best.
I
It's the best.
love that you have that confidence for somebody that is a That is a, I can turn on the confidence. I can talk myself into it. I can pretend like I have it, but I still struggle with it on the daily.
Yeah.
How do you like, what is that? How does that come for you? And how do you, if you have people that you've coached or mentored, is there anything you do to kind of pump them up and get them to own that confidence?
That's a great question. So first of all, I think everybody all the time, I always like to tell people I'm coaching and friends. I'm like, just to be clear, nobody knows what they're doing. Everybody's just giving it their best shot. Okay. Like, so let's just like put all the cards on the table. Nobody actually knows what they're doing. And I think
Yeah.
that's the big secret is like when you're a kid and even when you're like in your 20s, right? And like early in career, you assume you're going to hit this threshold and you're like, there's like this secret society where like once people are senior, they know what they're doing. And they know what they're doing and they know what they're saying. And you're like, well, at some point, I'm going to get to this point where like I know all this stuff. And I've realized now that most people, like, again, you glean information as you go through your career and obviously gather like experiences and stuff. But at the end of the day, a lot of people are still like, well, we'll just give this our best shot and see what happens. But back to your question about advice, I always tell people that we're all the stars of our own movie. And so you are, when someone goes into a situation and they're like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. I said this and everybody this, and I'm sure everybody's thinking, I'm like, I always stop them. I'm like, we're all the star of our own movie. So in your movie, this was the most important thing. But just to be clear, someone else's movie who was sitting in that boardroom, their kid threw up on them this morning and they probably didn't even hear half of what you said. Or so and so has a date tonight and they're not even thinking about like what's going on. Or so and so has a difficult conversation. We're all the star of our own movie, and what you think is going on, no one's actually like caring that much.
Thank you. I needed that. I'm going to write it down.
All right, there you
I'm
go.
going to take this clip and I'm going to play it in the morning.
There you go. But
We are
like,
all the star of our own movie. And I love
yeah.
what you also said is that like everyone's just trying their best and a lot of
Totally.
people don't know what they're doing. And just reminding yourself that when you're going into a new situation is, I mean, that's it's empowering that you can mess up and we're all gonna mess up and we're
Totally.
also all might knock it out of the park sometimes. So,
Exactly.
I love that.
But that's kind of,
Cool.
yeah, I think just keep going, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're past your you've gotten into sales, you've grown up with sounds like a really happy childhood and great parents who taught you a lot. You're a mama
Inadvertently.
now.
Yes.
And how old are your kiddos?
So they are
Six
six and a
and
half, 9.
yeah, awesome. Girls, boys.
Boy and a girl.
Okay. And how would you, so 6 and 9, what, first grade and
So
third,
first and
fourth?
fourth. Yeah.
Cool. How would you describe this stage of motherhood?
I love it, to be perfectly honest. I absolutely love it. I tell people that, and again, I feel like my kids are getting old enough where they're going to hear this eventually. Like, I didn't grow up wanting kids. I didn't grow up wanting to be married. I didn't grow up wanting like that life at all. I wanted to be like a CEO and, you know, have like really great condo and fly everywhere and be this really cool aunt, but I did not want that life. Partially because I didn't think you could have that life and also have that. And I wanted the other stuff more. But the reason I say that is because I think part of it is I enjoy motherhood so much because I have no expectations, right? I'm like, oh, this is great, right? Like, they're awesome and it's so fun to watch them learn how to learn how to communicate, learn how to own their own emotions, learn, like you're saying, pieces of confidence, see teachable moments. And I find it, I was actually fortunate enough, or confluence of events, whatever you want to say, but I had kids right around the time I started managing people as well. And that was a wonderful dichotomy because I also didn't really want to. I was very scared of managing people. So I'm like, well, why don't people just do it this way? What about this? And then you see when you have children that you're like, you obviously can't control them. They're people, right? And so learning how to communicate and see what they do and all that, I think that's, I don't know, that's the best part of motherhood. What's your favorite part of motherhood? Like, yours are a little bit younger. How do you feel about this stage?
I think it is the best. I mean, it's cliche, but it's the best and the hardest job. I
Oh,
think that I'm starting to see the it always sounds so negative, but I really do feel like I'm starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel of our family being like what our family will be. And I know that'll always evolve, but we talked before, like before we started recording, that I'm at 3 and a half as my youngest, and I'm starting to see her, really interact with us and in a way that shows her own personality, and that's the fuel. Like when I'm starting to see their little personalities come out in such a big and beautiful way, and
That.
really hard sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, but that's like the reality. It's hard. I'm trying to be the best mom I can be, and yet I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm making it up along the way, but I do genuinely, genuinely love that and feel a sense of accomplishment. When I see them becoming who they are. And
right?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. It's funny. Yeah. There have been a few times where my kids have been, they're really good kids. And I'm really lucky. And parents will say, or, you know, even like associates or colleagues or whatever. And they're like, wow, like that's a really nice kid. Or your kid is so well-behaved, or your kid eats so much salad, or your kid, you know, and I'm like, I don't know, they, you know, and they'll be like, oh, that's good parenting. And it's so funny because I don't think about it that way. And I know, I guess we're supposed to, maybe this is a female thing, right? Where you're like, oh, it's just how they were born. They just came out that way, you know? But yeah, you have such a huge part in shaping them. I just don't think about it, right?
Well, so much of it is actually not what you intentionally do, but what you're doing every day that they're watching. And so it's like, if you just try to lead the life that you believe is a healthy, fulfilling,
totally,
you know, from an emotional and physical standpoint, then, you know, I gotta hope that that rubs off, and that's the parenting that is the most impactful. Because if it's the how I discipline or how I like, I'm like, then I'm a freaking failure.
Right. Exactly. No, I hear you. Oh my gosh.
You know, I mentioned at the beginning that you talk a lot about, you do a beautiful job of blending a little bit of motherhood and life into your posts on LinkedIn. And I one post in particular stood out at me. I read about, you had approached your son about being disappointed with your behavior.
Yes.
And the lesson you were showing him about personal accountability. And
right.
I actually think that this is very much like what related to what we were just talking about, of like leading
right.
by example and just leading
totally.
And being the best human you can be. How, like, can you describe that a little, in a little bit more detail? Like, how often are those conversations? Are you having those conversations with your
yeah.
kids? Like, how would you define your approach to parenting? Kind of like what we were, expand on what we were chatting about.
It's a good question. I guess I've never really thought of them as kids per se. So I think of them as like my, like little adults I'm raising, right? At one point you are going to have to be accountable for your life. And so my job is to make you the most independent and accountable person that I can do that with. Cause at some point you're going to leave, and you should, that's the point. And I want you to be a good human in the world. And so I guess I'm always thinking about to my own behavior, like one of my just habits I've built over my time is a lot of self-reflection. And so trying to see, I try to do it for a few minutes daily. If I'm not able to do it daily, obviously, because things come up, I try to do it at least once a week. I journal every morning. I run a lot where I think. And so I'm constantly thinking about like, okay, what was good yesterday? Well, that was good. Okay, what was bad? Yeah, it could have been better. All right. Well, is there anyone you have to go talk to or be accountable to? Or is there anything you should shore up, for lack of a better term? And I think, you know, like that's always a constant in my life. And yeah, for them, I just didn't like how I behaved on the weekend. I was like short, I was tired, you know, and again, all the reasons, you know, right? You're a little bit stressed, you're a little bit, all the things. And so I'll say, so I just approached my son and I was like, hey, I really didn't like my behavior. I just wanted to let you know it's because of X, Y, and Z, and I'm going to do better. And he goes, I didn't even notice. And I'm like, well, okay, I'm glad you didn't notice, but I'm just telling you that I wasn't happy with what I did. So I will do these things and I will try to be more accountable. And he was like, but I didn't notice. So if I didn't notice, then why did you say anything? And I'm like, well, buddy, I didn't know you didn't notice. And two, I'm saying it because I noticed and I want to be better. And that is my goal. And he was like, oh, okay. And he gave me a hug, and that was the end of it. But it was so interesting because we've gotten to a point, now he's 9 and a half, where there are times, of course, right? You're like, it's the end of the day. You're rushing. We're driving somewhere. I'm kind of short. I'm snapping. I'm packing groceries. I'm like, get in the car. You guys have 5 minutes. Come on, let's go. Put on your coat, put on your shoes, right? And we get in the car. And both of them now will always go, Mom, are you okay? And I know that's the like, okay. And then after I take a few beats, right? I'm like, ah. And then I'll say, Guys, I'm really sorry. I'm just hungry and I'm stressed and I wanted to get ahead of the traffic and I'm sorry. And now my son will be like, yeah, I know. That's okay. I know you're going to come back eventually. I appreciate it, but I know. I'm like, that's so great. Like, that's so great that you know we're allowed to be human, you know, and be like not ideal all the time. So, but it's good because he'll come back now too, which is great.
So many good lessons in that. It's like, one, you're human and you're not this picture of
Yeah,
perfection.
none of us
But
are.
two, it reminds me of, I don't know, have you ever heard of or do you follow Dr. B Rebecca Kennedy, Becky Kennedy?
So I don't like a lot, but I've heard so much about her that now I'm like, okay, I have to start following her.
Okay, so she has I mean, you just what you did in that story and and shared in that post is like, it's like textbook what she's talking about in her TEDx or her TED Talk that she recently did. And it's about the most important parenting strategy is repair, and how, like, I'll butcher it, so everyone just go listen to it. It's amazing. It's worth your 10 minutes. But about how, one, it shows that there's, you know, there's not perfection, but also the act of accountability and saying you're sorry or copping up to something that maybe you did wrong is just that. That is just so incredibly, it's showing self-awareness, it's showing, you know, consideration for their, you know, their emotions and how it might have impacted them. Anyway, I yeah, I so much, so many good lessons in how you're managing your life and
Oh, thank
your
you.
little humans, your
My little, I
little
always call them my
adults,
tiny humans. I mean,
your
now my
tiny
son's almost,
humans.
I call them my tiny humans. My son's almost my size, so I'm like, I can't
You're
actually
not
play
tiny anymore.
anymore.
Yeah, fair.
But it's fun. Like my favorite part of that is having him come back now, where when he snaps or he's rude and we just sort of let it, he'll come back after about 50 minutes. He's like, Mom, sorry, I was a biped. I'm hungry. I didn't mean to. I'm like, it's okay, man. It's all right. You know, and that's it. And you're like, cool, I get
Yeah.
it. We're all on board. Great.
Yeah, I similarly, I actually had my little one is in the phase of screaming. She just likes the when she wants the attention and she wants it now and she wants you to hear her, she just screams. And last night she screamed about wanting cereal and I only let her have like a few Cheerios. And then she came up a few minutes later while I was brushing my teeth. She goes, "Mommy, I'm so sorry for yelling." And it's like, those are the moments where
I
you're
know.
like, oh, I'm not totally effing this up.
Oh my God, I know, right? Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you for
100%.
sharing. I want to come back to I want to go to your you dig in a little bit more to your career, but I do in that talk, I want to go back to the comment you made about how I never, you know, you are and love being a mama now, but you didn't always see that as a part of your life. And so I would love to talk a little bit about your career journey and kind of some of the pivots that you made in your career. But then where did motherhood pop up and how did that kind of change, if at all, your, you know, the decisions you were making in your career?
Totally. So I'll start with, I was very lucky in that my dad always used to say, design your life around your job. Do not design your job around your or design your job around your life. So decide the kind of life you want. And so I was like, because again, both of them were salespeople, right? And so they had a lot of time where they didn't have a lot of time. They were working, but they weren't in an office. They were like out with clients. They were doing stuff. So it was really good because if I ever really had something, a dance competition, a show, something, they were there. Someone was always there. And so I remember even then seeing that and being like, okay, so this is important to have flexibility. So I knew that. If nothing else, I knew that I would not be tied to an office. So I think that, you know, and I'm only saying that because leapfrogging 20 years, that's obviously a key point of having children is having flexibility.
Yep.
So my career started in marketing and advertising. It was great. And then I started when I worked at Universal Studio, I had this boss for 7 years who was one of my favorite bosses, and we're still in touch. And I remember staying there until, and at this time I'm fairly young, I'm like 26, right? And all my colleagues had kids, so they would all go home. And I'd come from advertising where you work all the time. Like you work all the time, you hang out with those people, they're your friends, you date them, like you don't have a life. And so I remember I was sitting there at 6 after my like 3 months, and he comes into my office, he's like, go home. what am I going to do at home? He's like, go home. I was like, but I don't have anything to do. I work. And he's like, get a hobby, go home. And like, if it was not for that, I probably honestly would not be married or have kids or any of those things because I was constantly looking to fill my
Yeah.
life with work. And so I remember going home being like, well, what am I going to do? So I started bringing, I started these dinners where I would just like invite people I met once a month, just like randomly to like, yeah, just again, it's
I
hard to
love
make friends
that.
as an adult, right? And so
Yeah.
any cool person I would meet, I would basically say, like, you're invited to this dinner, bring someone else. And so that's how I met a lot of like just new people outside of work, outside of my friend circle. One of those people ended up being my roommate at her birthday 1 year. I randomly, he was not there, but bumped into who is now my husband. So the reason I'm telling you this is because he had grown up in a family where he very much wanted children and wanted to get married. And I remember once we got together, I was like, oh, well, explain this to me. Why? Why? Because I don't want them. So like, help me understand this. And he really said, like, you know, what better good can you do in the world than putting someone in who is there for good, who you are shaping to be a good person? Like, what better footprint can you leave for the world? I was like, that is a very good argument. Okay. So, you know, pontificated on it a while, right? Took
Yeah.
like, it's not like it happened overnight, but we had a lot of conversations about that while we were dating. And then eventually I got to the point where I'm like, okay. And I think too, like at some point, you just kind of, by that point, I was like 30. I'm like, maybe it wouldn't be that bad. So yeah, anyway, so we had kids and but it was very much him. Like, had I have not met him and had I have not had those conversations, I really don't think I would be in this position I am today. Absolutely
Yeah.
not.
And how do you, did you find it changed the way you crafted your career or you crafted the support or boundaries in your life so that you could still have the career you wanted
Yeah.
and, you know, bring this other huge priority into your life?
Right. I think you don't, I mean, like most mothers will say, right? You don't understand how much you can love something until you have a kid. And you're like, oh my God, like I will literally jump in front of a truck for you, right? Like it's the craziest love in the world. So I knew, like my parents, I wanted to be there for events and activities and things like that. But I was fortunate enough in that I had gotten to a point where now I was 10 years into a sales career that did not require me to be in an office. So, when my son was about one, I was approached to start a Canadian office of a US entity. And all of a sudden, I got to work entirely from home. Right. And so that was 10 years ago. So I was like, well, that's cool. I also will say that, like, even from the get-go, I had nannies when they were very young. So I made sure to have additional help because I also had that growing up. And I think I will say, I really do think that does help having help around because, right, like, especially when they're that little, you can't do it all.
So I'm just going to pause you there for a second because I think this is so important, and this is why I am so passionate about balance being bullshit and the understanding from women and caregivers that are really successful some of the things you had to do, because
Oh, totally.
the highlight reel doesn't show that you had a, I mean, maybe it does, but
Yeah.
the highlight reel doesn't show that I have a nanny helping me even when I'm taking time off,
Yeah.
and like and so or that you're making that, you know, you're making that trade-off to spend
Totally.
a bit more time, you know, at work versus full-time home, which is also a
Totally.
huge job and an amazing choice for some people, all day
Totally.
home with your mom, your kids. You're getting someone to help and do part of
Yeah.
that raising with you. And I just, it's so, thank you for sharing that. It is so, I feel like it's so important.
No, I don't think anybody, I mean, we were very conscious of like, I don't understand. So one of the things that's so interesting and a little bit unique about Canadians, and I will say this, is Americans very much, and I grew up between both, right? So Americans very much are transient. So they will go to away to school and then they will go get a job. And I find it is more rare that Americans live around their family. They're like, oh, I'm from Iowa, but I went to school in New York and then I got a job in San Francisco and now I live there. Or I, whatever, right? Canadians don't do that. There, because basically there's three cities in Canada that are like economic powerhouses. There are a lot of others, but like there's Toronto, Montreal, Vancouver. And if you want to work in business, 80% of it is happening in Toronto. a lot of it. And so many people don't go away to school. They live around their parents. They're very close to them. And then even when they are older, they are still very close to their parents. So I think from a support system, it's kind of almost like European in that way, right? That you live much closer to your family. And so that is also a huge support. I mean, as I said, my brother lives 10 houses from me. My dad still comes over every morning for breakfast on Saturdays. My mom lives a 15 minutes drive. My husband's sister and our nieces live 15 minutes away. My in-laws live 2 hours away, but around where our other property is. And so we see them 6 months of the year every weekend. So our to your point, I had family, but I also, or sorry, I had a nanny, but I also had family too. I had a lot of help. Yeah. There's no way you can do it without help. No way.
And that's like for those women that are listening that maybe, or people, whatever gender, are listening that want to build a family and don't want to sacrifice career, it might not feel possible in the situation you're in today, but as you create a little bit more financial stability and you decide to have the kids and you have to just make choices that help support the view of success and the vision that you have. And so I think that's the part that like isn't always shared as much is that you do have help or you do have to make a trade-off and say, I'm not going to be home for this, or I'm not going to work in an office. I'm not going to take a job that forces me to travel or work in an office or whatever it might be. So,
No, absolutely. But it's funny because I will say, like, I still dabble in those. It's almost like checking out hypothesis, you know, like as a at least as a kid, because I wanted to be this like big executive. I had these ideas of what that looked like. And for a while that looked like, you know, traveling to New York all the time and, you know, going to fancy dinners and blah, blah, blah. And I did do that for a bit because I was like, well, you know what? This is what being an executive is. So I will do this thing. And it's almost like living out your, whether it's your childhood dreams or your ideas of what you think success should be or what success has been shown to you as. And I did that for a while. And don't get me wrong, it was great. There was a part of me that loved it. But then I found that, yeah, I was missing things with my kids. And then they would talk to me and they're like, you know, mommy, we miss you or whatever the case may be. And you're like, oh, yeah, this isn't as glamorous as I thought it was going to be. You know?
Yeah, totally. Totally, yes. I think that's there's another woman I had spoken with. Her name's Christine Kring, and she talked about like how you every experience that you have and every job or role that you have gives you a better sense of what you like and what you don't and what success looks like. So it's like
100%.
you did that. You did that, you tried that, you thought
Totally.
that was what you wanted, and then you adapted because
Yeah,
that's actually
exactly.
not wasn't all that
No.
you dreamed it would be, but for some, maybe it is. Like they do that and they're like, oh, this is
This is
fuel.
the Yeah,
Flipping love
exactly.
it. Yeah.
Totally. I was talking to someone else who was like about 10 years in career. We were having a mentoring chat and she was really debating about what she should do next. And to your point, she was at this like family precipice, like, should I, shouldn't I, what should I do? Will it stall me? And we had this same conversation where I was like, the challenge is your career is a puzzle, but you don't know what it looks like, you know? And so you gather a bunch of the corner pieces here, and then you go off and you try a piece over here, and you're like, well, that's not quite, but it does link back here. Okay. And then you go out on a limb and you're going to, I'm going to try that corner. Okay. And then you start building that corner. You'd be like, wait a minute. No. Oh, but now you're building out the middle here, but you're missing this corner. And it's very much like just a tapestry, but you don't have the box. You know, you don't actually know what the picture looks like. But the whole goal of a lifetime is career is ideally continuing to just like find the little pieces of the puzzle and like lock them in, you know?
Yeah, what fits together, what doesn't, shift them around.
Totally, right? Turn it upside down, be like, is that how it's supposed to look? I don't know, right? Like,
Oh, that is such a good analogy. I know in my gut that things shifted when I was a mom in terms of how I showed up as a leader. You've led at multiple different places, through a lot of different phases in probably people's career. People's careers that reported to you, did becoming a mother change, or has it changed at all, and in what ways the way you lead?
Yeah, 1,000%. Like there's no way it can't. I think So I had this peer when I was at Universal, and his name was Steve, and he had three kids who were at the time, let's say they were like 5, 9, and 11. And I remember, and I didn't have kids at the time, and I was
Yeah.
very type A, right? I was militant about my deadlines and deliverables, and everything was like locked down. Yeah, exactly, right?
Yep.
And I remember him looking at me, and he just would laugh. He's like, "Ah, Tiff, when you have kids, man, things are gonna change." I'm like, "No, they're not, Steve. I am still going to like hold people accountable to these deadlines, and there is gonna be that, da-da-da," right? Obviously, we
Oh
all do that.
yeah. Oh yeah.
And then I had kids, and I was like, "Oh, I get what he's telling. Yeah, I get what he means." So I think, like, to back that out, what I mean by that story is, yes, absolutely, it's changed, and I think, like, very realistically, in three ways. One, the fact that you just realize again what actually matters. So once upon a time, you were chasing this work or this deadline or this promotion or this accolade or something, and you're like, "Wow, yeah, you know what? It's not the end of the world. It's not, yes, it matters, but it's not the be all and end all." So I think that's the first thing. From a second, so being able to prioritize and help people see like what is really important. The second thing is being able to be malleable in how you coach people. So as we were talking about even before we started recording, kids have very different personalities, and you cannot operate with them the same way. And so every day you are having leadership conversations and learning skills on how to negotiate and deal with different personalities and motivate and coach and lift people up. And so I think that inherently helps when you're managing people, because all of a sudden you get a group of people that don't operate the same way. So of course you are going to be more open to helping and changing, and really trying to lift people up. And the third thing I will say is, I am much more, and this is also, I mean, it's been 10 years, almost, 12 or so of managing people now, but I have been given a lot of people in my career where people have said, "And that one's a write-off. Like, you should pip that one," right? And I was just, and I'd give it a minute, but like, whereas before I felt like I would have taken that at face value and been like, "Oh, okay, yeah, let's get that person out immediately." I'm much more inclined to say, like, "Just give me a second, let me assess, and let me see what's actually kind of behind the curtain here." And I've had a pretty good track record of turning around people that people were like, "That one's a lost cause," and we've made them, top performers. And it's just a matter of taking the time and being able to really look at someone and say, like, "I see you, I acknowledge you, I'm gonna ha like, let's work together on this," but being really leaned in. That's probably the third thing. So that's definitely how it has changed me.
That is just so much there. That last piece is so interesting, and important. And I wonder if there's more that we can pull on there to share in terms of how, let's say someone doesn't have the leader that you are to pause and kind of give them the space and kind of and coach them up and figure out where they might be missing or have an opportunity to actually step up and succeed. How might you coach someone that's listening that may not be performing, that wants to get there or needs to get there on their own because they don't actually have a leader like you on their side that's giving them the space? Like, they have that leader that's like, ah, get them on a pip and get them out of here.
I mean, it's an unfortunate situation of, I think, the macro we're in right now, right? Like, that is happening. But I would say, I think there's a few things. One, recognize that I think, and again, maybe this is just me, I think most people, when they're in that situation, are not making that decision of their own accord. I believe there is like an echo chamber around them. So I would try and find out what is actually, like, what is the echo chamber with that person? Is it really that person who's driving the decision, or is there something bigger that is asking them to do that? Number one, because if it's something bigger and it's a whole thing, like, you're gonna have a hard time fighting the system, right? But if it is an individual thing, I would try and understand, like, where did that come from? And I think this goes back to the star of my own movie, right? That person is probably trying to, in their head, they've done what they can, right? Like, they are trying their best. I think nobody wakes up and is like, "Oh, I'm gonna do a really bad job today." Like, that doesn't happen. So I think if you can look at the other person and try and understand, like, have they tried to help you? Have they leaned in? Were you, dismissive of help because you thought either you had it figured out or you're mad you got put in a restructure and you don't like this person that you're dealing with. Did you get off on the wrong foot? And I often think that an honest conversation can at least start to right side it. I don't know if it can rectify it, but it can certainly go back to what you were saying, repair and try and get things back on the right path so that even if you are out of that organization, like, let's be honest, I mean, bridges are bridges for a reason. So don't burn them in your career because you are going to need them more than you think. And that person who is potentially pipping you now, again, if they have an echo chamber behind them, may not be there later and may actually like want to help or extend a hand at some point, right? So I just think, again, go back to like looking at yourself, figure out where did you decide in your movie that these were the key points and the key turning points in the plot? And now look at their movie and try and understand where were the key points in your story. And now try and figure out what's going on.
For those that maybe aren't in the, well, I mean, I guess there's PIPs in a lot of different worlds, but performance improvement plan. Just, you know, I was like, PIP. Okay. I probably should define that. But then I think something that you said that's really powerful is just, and you even said it in, I can't remember, in the way you were talking, I think about parenting and going back to accountability with your son of this practice of self, consistent practice of self-reflection from your journaling to your, you know, to the way that you, you know, you lead your day to day and even the way, you know, during your running or your yoga. And you touched on it again there. So I feel like that's one of the big takeaways for me during this conversation is like how valuable self-reflection can be, not only for your own, you know, for the relationships that you have, but also like for your own development. If you're having a hard time at your job or in your life and you take a step back and can, you know, try to assess, you know, what's going really well and what isn't going really well, you can probably have a much better and more productive conversation with the people around you to ask for help or, you know, So thank you. That's great.
No, you're welcome. I think it's so important.
Yeah, totally.
What's next, Jess?
Well, you're at Hire Guide and I love the mission to fix a gateway to economic opportunity, the interview. That struck me when I read it and stopped and said, gosh, yes. Can you tell us a little bit about your journey at Hire Guide and kind of what you're doing in your space to help fix the gateway to economic opportunity?
Yeah, I think what's really interesting, Jess, is so everybody has to go through interviews, right? And I mean, you know, we won't record, but like you and I can talk about the amount of interviews we've been through in our life and how good and not good a lot of them are. And what is amazing is everybody who has a job has to go through an interview, right? And what I didn't realize, and I knew academically, because obviously every like research points to that, but how biased interviews are and how much, you know, nepotism plays a role and pedigree and social circles and all of that. Like we do know that. But being a woman too, you're part of that, right? Like you are part of that quote unquote underrepresented group. And so knowing, I mean, I have a daughter, and she is feisty. It is imperative that I do all I can to try and continue to like fix the road for her. And so I started with Hire Guide a few months ago. I think it's almost 6 or 7 months ago now. And I was very taken with the mission to fix that. And I think if we can truly fix that through like, and they have a phenomenal tool. I mean, it's gets me very excited talking about it, but like skills-based structured interviews, if you can really do that and focus on that and start there first, you will absolutely increase. So there's a stat, you will increase your DE&I hiring by 10 to 25%. So if we all move to, a skills-based structured interview process that is repeatable, that is scalable, that we get everybody on board with, we can move the needle. We can actually move the needle. And I think I'm getting goosebumps because I get so excited about that because no, well, it's true, right? Like, again, you have daughters, I have daughters, and imagine a world where they are evaluated for their experience, their talent, their not where they worked and who they worked with. And because that road is tough, right? Like, some clubs are not open to us. And so if you are evaluated based on your skill, it is so different and it will be such a different world for them.
That's really powerful. It gets it. I feel it on the goosebumps.
Right?
Yes, and I think the beauty of skills versus, to your point, experience is
Yeah.
it's easier to pivot that way too. Because if you
Totally.
look at skill sets
Oh
that
my
you build
gosh.
throughout your life versus only the skill set that you built at this, tech company or healthcare or retail or whatever it might, painting,
Yeah.
whatever it might be, the door might not be open to you. But if you think more broadly in your life, I mean, I think about moms that are coming back to the workplace
Yeah.
and holy crap, what do you learn when you're on a maternity leave or paternity leave and or caring for an elderly, or sick family member? It's like you learn a whole nother set of skills
Totally.
that you could ex describe and leverage that are key skills for a job in an industry maybe you haven't done before. And it changes the game in terms of what opportunity is open. That's just like, that's really powerful.
Yeah, it's
How are people making that transition? Like from the
Pardon me?
more, how are companies and people making that transition? So like from the, obviously HireGuide helps, but
Right.
people are so stuck in their way of interviewing based on experience or, pedigree of a school or,
Right.
who you know in your network. How do you, how are you finding companies make that shift?
I think that so, first of all, again, we're in the perfect confluence of events where 2023 was a rough year for a lot of companies, a lot of people, ton of rifts. So what that meant was everybody was very lean. Now everyone has to look at, because they're not hiring at the same level, they all look at their internal tech stack, they all look at their process. They're like, ooh, okay, we should probably fix this. Now you go into late 23, early 24. And again, I mean, if you look at anything talent related, everyone's talking about skills-based hiring, right? So now people are coming out and they're going, ooh, okay. Then so there's the macro, then there's the generation issue of the fact that boomers are retiring. X is the smallest generation of working professionals on record. You've got millennial and Z, all of whom are speaking different languages, all of who have different expectations of what work is supposed to look like. So now all of a sudden, you have people who were hired that have high attrition rate. You have teams needing to be leaner. You have all teams looking 3 to 5 years ahead, going, the generations and ages of this workforce is going to change dramatically. How do we recruit the right kind of people? So I think, again, all of that stacks up to this perfect confluence of events where we are right now, which is all companies are looking to be more efficient, more effective, more fair and equitable. Employment claims, discrimination claims are up 20% year over year. So people are also looking to make sure that they have a process in place that they can point to say, we are doing this by the book. We are not biased. We don't have, favoritism in the process. So I actually think I'm not even the one who's trying to convince. Companies are going, we know we're supposed to do this. How do we do this? So that's a really nice place to be in.
That's very far different world than we were in a few years, even just a few years
Oh
ago.
my gosh, yeah, of course.
Still
I
plenty
remember.
of work to do, but
Yeah,
big
just very,
shifts.
very different.
Yeah, that's
Very
great.
different.
Thank you for sharing.
No, of course.
We are quickly coming up on our time.
Oh my goodness, it went so fast.
So many good takeaways from this conversation, but I love to finish the conversation with
All
some
right, let's
quick
do it.
questions, some fast five to learn a little bit more about you and
Let's
maybe
do
leave
this.
people thinking a little bit. So, we both seem to be pretty big fans. I see you posting about Jay Shetty's
Yeah,
On
love Jay
Purpose
Shetty.
podcast.
Love
Love
him.
him. Favorite episode or content that stuck with you?
Okay, so I really liked, and he posted it very recently, but the 7-step goal setting method. That's a huge favorite. I liked his. So what he says in that episode is basically every year doesn't have to be the best year. And he posted it around New Year's because, you go into every year and you're like, oh my God, this is going to be the best year of my life. And he talks about the fact that every year can't be the best. There are 4 years for, and they're not all, but like there's four stages. So there's the learning, there's the experimenting, there's the performing, and there's the thriving. Sports teams go through this, companies go through this. You have to have a learning phase. You have to have an experimenting phase. Once you've experimented, you have to have a performing, and then all of a sudden performance hits and now you're thriving. And that can happen in 1 year, but most often than not, you're going through sort of like years or swaths of time like this. Love that episode.
Listened to that one and it's pretty game
So
changing for your
good, right?
mindset, because if you start off every year I'm gonna thrive this year, it's like you're just setting yourself up for disappointment.
Totally.
But yeah, no, love that. Okay, second one word to describe being a mama and building a career outside the house.
Fulfilling.
Love it. Worst advice that you've ever been given in your life and why?
Feel like this is the same for most people. That's just the way things are. Right?
Oh,
No, it's not.
yeah.
Well, why? Just change it. Just do something different.
Love that.
Yeah.
Your role model for blending work and life.
I have a few, but specifically, I have a friend, very close friend, who was my boss in one of my first jobs. And she was like very career driven. And then she broke off and had a kid. And then she was very authentic when she had her kid. And I do credit being. Having such a good time when my kids were a baby with her being so realistic because I knew I was like, okay, I'm never gonna sleep. It's gonna be awful. We're gonna fight all the time with my husband. It's gonna be like, I knew, but she was so transparent about it. So I kind of went in with eyes wide open and then I was like, oh, this isn't as bad as I thought. But I was literally expecting like Armageddon. But she is one of my role models.
Anything better than that,
Well,
right?
that's it, right? But no, she's definitely one. And she's still a very close friend. And I still go to her for lots of advice. And she's very senior in an organization. And yeah, she's one of my favorites.
I love that. And top piece of advice that you would give another mother or caregiver, that's trying to blend their role and their with their as parent or caregiver with their career.
Right. Yeah, I think like the one that resonates the most is. You can have it all, you just can't have it all at once.
Or without help.
Or without help. No, but even that, right? Like I think
Yeah.
even with help, like it's still probably not the all that you wanted, right?
Yeah.
Because trust me, if you have help, you're not going to be living in the super fancy house because you're going to have to pay for all the help, right?
Yep.
Like there's always a trade-off, and that's totally fine.
Priorities.
Yeah, exactly,
And
right?
priorities change at different parts of your life. Like, I think
Of course
that's
they do.
the beauty of what you're saying there. It's like
Yeah.
it's you don't have to write it off forever. It's like one thing that's not a priority today could be one tomorrow and you make the shifts. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's great. Tiffany, you are wonderful. Thank you so much for being here today and just being you, authentically you. There's so much
Awesome.
goodness to
Thank
take
you,
away from
Jess.
this conversation today.
This was so fun. It's rare.
Good.
Talk about being a mom and working, right? So I think
At the
this,
same
as
time.
I said, I'm telling people about this podcast and they're already like, where do I learn more? Where do I get it? Can you send me the link? I'm like, it's coming.
Coming
So I'm really excited
soon.
for what you're doing because it's definitely needed.
Thank you so much. Where can people find more of you and learn more about Hire Guide?
Well, you can always find me on LinkedIn. That's probably the best spot. Tiffany Heimpel, on LinkedIn. Find me. I will try to talk to everyone. And then Hire Guide is just hireguide.com. So come on over and check us out.
Perfect. Well, have a
Awesome.
wonderful afternoon and thank you so much for your time today.
You too. Thanks, Jess.
Bye.
That one's a wrap. Thank you so much for joining us. I am so honored that you're here, and I hope you're getting as much out of these conversations as I am. Remember, we're new here at the Balance is Bullshit podcast, and we need your help to grow this community to be what I know and we know it can be. So if you liked today's episode, subscribe to the show. Rate and review us, or even share on social your biggest takeaway from the conversation. We're so thankful you're here. And know this is just the start of something special. See you again soon.